All right, time for what you need to know. Here are a couple of things that are breaking in sports here over the last few hours. Number one, the Denver Nuggets closed their team facility, Greg, starting on Saturday. And it's because of a round of positive tests for the coronavirus. The Nuggets had two members of their team's 35-person traveling party to Orlando, which encompasses players, coaches, staff, etc., test positive. So they're shutting it down. We all know about Nikola Jokic, too, in addition to all of that. They are just doing the precautionary thing. Look, we've seen this in baseball, and it's been way more widespread than just two. So I guess this is the right way to go, because you're going to go to Orlando anyway. You're going to have to test there again, and you're hoping to have those people eventually join you there and be, you know, negative by the time they get there.
Yeah, I mean, it's better to do it now than waiting a longer period of time. And they're doing it, again, NBA on top of things, doing it the right way. You get a couple tests and you say, all right, we're shutting down now, opposed to the amount, the mass amount that was in Florida with baseball.
Yeah, for sure. Next, we've got Damian Lillard has been named the cover of NBA 2K21. What do you feel, or how do you feel about Dame getting NBA 2K's cover next season?
I love it. I think that that's a great spot for him. He deserves it. He's been consistent for years and years, and he just fits with the younger crowd too. I mean, he's an excellent rapper, and he's just been such a great player to watch for years. I love it.
Really good on social media too. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Yep. I think he fits perfectly.
Laura, you worked for one of the big hip hop stations in town. What do you think of Dame's game as a rapper?
I'm with it. I listened. It's good. I mean, better than a lot of the guys that actually have contracts as rappers right now. I mean, he could probably make more money.
that is funny. And lastly, Ron Rivera, now with the Washington Redskins, was Cam Newton's former coach, said, quote, "I wouldn't bet against Cam." And I'm not trying to say that Ron Rivera is not being sincere, but if he wouldn't bet against Cam, why didn't he bring him to Washington, Greg?
I mean, that kind of makes sense. But he also, didn't Ron Rivera also say that in Washington, what's the quarterback's name?
Dwayne Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins has the best arm in football.
Yeah, and he may not. I don't know.
You know. So if he thinks that his quarterback has the best arm in football, why would he bring in a guy to play as a backup to that guy?
Well, you never know. Maybe he's not ready, and you bring in a guy that you've had success with. All I'm saying is that it just seems like a weird thing to say. I know he felt like it was the nice thing to say, but you have a job as a head coach. You could have brought him in yourself.
Sure. So you're basically saying it's lip service.
Correct. Yeah. All right. That is what you need to know. Speaking of lip service, there are reports out there that the Seattle Seahawks and Baltimore Ravens are thinking about bringing in Antonio Brown. Now, here's the thing. If Antonio Brown, and I believe I'd have to double check on this, I'm pretty sure as long as his legal scenarios have played themselves out and he has either been exonerated or has been settled in one way, shape, or form. Look, the talent part of it, no one is going to deny. I'll ask you this, Greg, if it was your team, your team had him, the Raiders.
Right.
Like, granted, he's not going back to the Raiders, but your experience with Antonio Brown was what? Like, would you give him another chance?
No, I wouldn't. I think he's a crazy person, and that stuff doesn't just go away overnight.
Right, legal stuff aside, you're just saying that you just don't want him in the locker room because you think it's too much of a distraction.
No, he spent the entire first part of training camp talking about how he wouldn't play because his helmet wasn't the right helmet. I mean, it was just it was something one after the other. We never even got to see what he would look like with the Raiders. So, no, I don't think that I understand the amazing talent that he is. I was excited that he was going to be a Raider. But, no, I don't even bring him into that situation. I'm sorry. He's a nut.
So you don't think he deserves to be on any roster?
No, I think he's done. I think he's too crazy, and he's not gonna work out wherever he goes.
I mean, man, I don't know if I would go that far. Like, yes, he has some issues. There's no question about that. However,
I saw it.
His talent is undeniable. You know what I mean? Like, I think that if you're a team that needs wide receiver help, man, I would absolutely consider bringing him in. And now you'd have to bring him into a situation with a head coach who understands how to manage egos. And I don't feel like Gruden is necessarily one of those guys. Like, no offense. For as good as Gruden is at a lot of things, I don't think that he's a great manager of egos. I also don't think Mike Mayock is necessarily a great manager of egos. But Pete Carroll, on the other hand, is a great manager of egos. John Harbaugh, on the other hand, is a great manager of egos. So those two teams, specifically being linked to Antonio Brown, make a lot of sense to me.
Would you say that Bill Belichick is a great manager of egos?
Yeah, but Bill Belichick wasn't the reason that Antonio Brown is gone. No, Antonio Brown is gone because Robert Kraft wanted him gone.
Right, because it's all because of the legal issues, right?
Right, Robert Kraft made that decision.
Right. So either way, he didn't last. I feel like when you go to the Patriots, that's kind of like your last ditch effort type area. Like the players and Corey Dillon ended up there to finish off his career. Randy Moss, you know, you go to those types of places. Chad Johnson was another one. Like that's your last kind of shot. And if you don't fit there, then you're not going to fit anywhere. And this is Antonio Brown didn't end up fitting there. So
I don't know about that. Like, I don't think that just because it doesn't work with the Patriots, there's a lot of guys it didn't work with the Patriots. We give them a lot of credit for fixing a lot of guys, but they've missed way more than they hit on stuff like that. And again, that's not a knock. That's just the reality. And like, I just think that a guy like Pete and a guy like Harbaugh, like John Harbaugh, the Ravens head coach, they haven't had easy personalities to deal with on those rosters. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've done a really good job. And those teams are in a prime position to win. And look, I saw the video where Deion Sanders and Antonio Brown were talking, and they talked about, you know, mental health. And Antonio told Deion, and look, you could say it's lip service. I don't know if it is or it isn't, right? But that Antonio has been seeking help from a mental health professional. And if those indeed are the cases, right, like if that did happen, I think he's going to get another shot. And I think that those two teams make sense. Like, think about Pete. Like, Pete is all in on bringing in pretty much anyone that can help him win. And by the way, I know that they drafted that kid, what's his name, DK Metcalf, who was fantastic for Seattle last year. But you bring in an Antonio Brown opposite of that. Man, to put there with Russell Wilson in that running game, and you know their defense, you know, still needs some work. It's not the days of the Legion of Boom, but all of a sudden that team, which already is a contender in even in a tough NFC, becomes even stronger. You've got guys in that locker room that will be able to handle that. Brady didn't have an issue with Antonio Brown. Belichick didn't have the issue with Antonio Brown. Now, granted, I get why Kraft wanted him gone because of the legal issues. Like, I get that. But Belichick and Brady were willing to keep Antonio Brown on the roster. Let's not forget that.
Right. And look, if he has gotten help and he has figured it all out and he's not going to be, and it isn't just lip service, then okay, sure. Then I would be more open to it. I just know that he put such a bad taste in my mouth all of last year where he was just nuts the entire time. I mean, went into the off season last year when he had that whole blow up with Big Ben, who was not the easiest person to get along with, granted, but it still was everything that he did was just insane.
And by the way,
one after
Big,
the other.
Big Ben apologized for the way he treated Antonio Brown.
Right. So, I mean, look, if he has figured it all out, then, yeah, if you go to Seattle, I mean, Tyler Lockett is probably your best wide receiver right now.
Him and DK Metcalf. I mean, Metcalf is pretty damn impressive.
He is, but, I mean, that's you really don't have much there. But still, Antonio Brown would all of a sudden make that offense really hum.
No, agreed. So, if you put Metcalf and Antonio Brown together and Lockett becomes your third receiver, now all of a sudden you've got a hell of a receiving core.
Look, the talent that Antonio Brown has is undeniable. The guy is just unbelievably good. I thought he was the best wide receiver in the league. I thought he was better than Mike Thomas, all of it. But I need to really see that he's changed as a person, and he's not that same dude that was going crazy.
Well, you're not really going to have a chance. You have to bring him in to make that decision and determination. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so maybe it's worth it because the talent does outweigh all of those things. I just couldn't. After last year, I can't imagine him getting another shot.
All right. 710 ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Look, think about it historically. Okay. Forget about just football for a second. How many guys, okay, in any walk of life, okay, that are unbelievably talented. Let's take radio as an example, okay? There are a lot of guys, okay? I've been doing this for, 21 years now, almost 21 years. In August, it will be 21 years, okay, that I have been doing radio. I started doing talk shows at 21 years old, okay? And there were a lot of guys, okay? A lot of guys who were crazy talented, but they were wild men, okay? And yet they kept getting jobs over and over and over again. And look, I think that you don't have to be a crazy person to do a talk radio show, right? Like, I think that you can either choose, you know, live fast, die young, right, as far as your career's concerned, or you could run the marathon and live a good life doing this for a long, long time. And but those guys that I mentioned, the live fast, die young crowd, a lot of those guys got multiple jobs over their careers. Now, eventually they flame out because they flame out everywhere. But talented people will get opportunities, Greg. There's no question about that, regardless of where they work.
Look, and I actually agree with you. And when it comes especially to radio hosts, I have met some of the most egocentric radio hosts out there, period. It's insane. People, radio hosts are nuts. A lot of them are just crazy. And yes, they do continually get jobs. And you think to yourself, how did this guy get another job? But yeah, they are very, very talented. So look, if he has changed and he is willing to work on some of this nonsense and really just get rid of social media in general, then maybe, yes, I could see him being on another team. I can switch to that.
Extraordinary people get extraordinary leeway. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just generally the way it goes, right? Like, for extraordinary talents get a lot more leeway than most people. And that's just the look, Elon Musk, right, is as brilliant a dude as we probably have at the moment, right? And he's kind of a whack job sometimes. He believes we live in the Matrix. You know what? I used to make fun of him for that. The way 2020 is going, maybe I don't make fun of him as much for it, because, God, it felt like we chose the wrong pill at some point or another. But it is one of these deals where, yeah, like, people like that will get a lot of opportunity. And some may not think it's fair, but if you're that talented, like, I get it. I get it. There's no doubt about it. All right. I got a couple other things I want to get to with you here real quick. Coming up next, I want you and I, we got to discuss baseball, okay? I also want to pose the question to you and the audience that I asked Amin about the favorites in the NBA. We'll touch on that. I've got some stuff because the anniversary of the decision is coming up. We'll have all this stuff coming up in just a moment. We're back in 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you work so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. So I saw on Twitter that King Taco is trending. Have you had King Taco, Laura?
I have, but I was super drunk and I would never do it again. It's horrible. So bad.
Bergman King Taco?
No, I've never tried it before, no.
I have. I've had. It's fine. You know what I'm saying? Like, would you say it's kind of like...
Trash?
No, I wouldn't say that. Like, I would just say, like, it's kind of just like Mexican street-style fast food tacos.
No.
Right? No?
No. I don't understand people that love King Taco. Even if you're drunk, go to Jack in the Box, get the $2 tacos, you're better off than King Taco. I hate that place. And I actually know the owners, which is sad. And I've told them that. I hate their food. It's so bad, guys.
I mean, I've had it. It just feels like, yeah, it's. I mean, look, LA is one of these places, right, where there's so many good street spots. You know, but... like, if I'm in a pinch and I'm starving and there's a King Taco right there, Laura, I'm eating. Like, give me, you know, three al pastor, or give me, you know, like some carnitas, or, you know, I'm hitting it. If I'm hungry, like I'm starving and there's a King Taco right there, I'm walking in. I'm getting them.
Get the street taco bag. If you're in LA, you're going to find a taco truck, something on the corner.
I know, but I'm just saying, I get it. I agree with you a million times over. But what I would say to you is this, is if I'm, let's say I'm at an appointment, right? I'll give you a perfect example, right? So my cell phone, don't even get me started on this. For the last almost week, okay, for the last 6 days, my cell phone works, but the screen is dark. because my son knocked it out of my hand. My almost 2-year-old son knocked it out of my hand and it hit the ground. I have a case on it. And this has happened to me before, but this time it was way worse. What happened was originally I got two lines on the screen and I could see half the screen and the other half was like all like weirded out, right? And eventually, this had never happened, the screen went completely dark. So I Googled it, and it's basically your iPhone has like an LCD cable that connects it, and they just got to take it apart, put the cable in, or put in a new cable, whatever, and you should be good to go. So I don't have a phone right now. I have to use my iPad for everything, okay? Oh, I also have my ESPN phone, which I use if I have to make a call. But I can even make my calls from my iPad most times because it pulls from my cell phone. Either way, he's lucky he's only a year or almost 2 years old because daddy was not happy. But anyway, it took a week because of social distancing to get an appointment, and it's tomorrow. So I'm going to go tomorrow to get the phone fixed. But let's say, you know, I got to get my phone fixed, right? I'm going wherever I got to go. And it's the store that I'm going to go to is an Apple authorized dealer. I couldn't even get an appointment at a actual Apple store. And let's just say that I'm starving and I got to wait 90 minutes or an hour to get my phone fixed. And the only thing next door is King Taco. I'm going to eat King Taco.
I'm walking to McDonald's.
You're going to keep walking?
Yes.
If there's a King Taco, if there's a King Taco in that area, there's another food place in that exactly. exact same area. You can find something else. And I love the fact that Laura says, I told the owners I don't like their food. That's so Laura, and I love it.
I did tell them. And you know what? I went to the Apple store on Saturday, waited for 2 hours to get something fixed, because that's the only way you're getting into Apple right now, is if you go and you stand there and you wait to be seen without an appointment.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I, you know, I thought about that, but I'm like, do I really want to do that? Like, you know, I don't want to waste my time. So it's just whatever. So I just got the appointment at an Apple authorized place. But anyway, I just thought it was funny that King Taco was trending. And as I was looking at it, most of the people agree with you, Laura. Like, it just they were trashing it. And I don't know. I've had it. It's fine. Like, it's again, it's just
Mexican. That's not fine.
I get it. It's not it's not good. But again, if I'm starving and it's the only place close by, I'm eating there. Like, it just, you know, I don't think it's, like, unedible.
It is.
Okay.
I was going to say, never mind. Yeah, it's bad.
Okay. Well, feel free, 877-710-ESPN, if you guys want to weigh in. Speaking of food, I saw that Mason is doing a hot dog eating contest, Greg?
Yeah, it's awesome. So, Mason and Alan Sliwa at 6:15 on Thursday are going to do a live hot dog eating contest in honor of the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. And there are stakes involved in this. So if Mason loses, he has to do the entire show with Sliwa after his show.
Ooh.
Which is a lot. I mean, that would be, let's see, they do 3.5. That would be, what, 7 hours of radio?
7 hours straight. Of radio, yeah.
Yeah, 7 hours of radio straight. And then, and
well,
that's
no,
after
six.
Eating a bunch
six
of,
to
oh,
nine.
Sorry.
Three
yeah,
to
yeah.
nine. Three
yeah,
to
yeah.
nine.
Yeah, yeah. So 6 hours.
At math. Yeah.
I am terrible at math. But they would have to, so they have to do 6 hours after eating all those hot dogs. But if he wins, and this is the funny part, if he wins, then crosstalk has to be fun again.
Well, wait a minute. Why is crosstalk not fun? I haven't heard it in a long time. What does that even mean? Like, what are you talking
well,
about?
Well, because crosstalk used to be where basically Mason and Ireland would rip apart Alan Sliwa and just say all these things about him. They would have a blast doing it and were laughing and it was fun. And they would say like, oh, what Alan doesn't know. And because he basically Alan was born at 35 years old. So he doesn't know anything about the past. And so now they're, when they talk, this show is the crosstalk is just sports. They don't have fun. They don't like mess around with each other. It's just, hey, so did you see about this Lakers news? And do you see about J.R. Smith? That's all it's been. And they want it to be fun again. So if Mason wins, he wants crosstalk to be fun again.
Crosstalk should always be fun.
Agreed. Should always be fun.
Yeah.
That's what it's there for. I'm sorry. We hear you, George, talk about everything sports-wise throughout the entire day. When you did Purgatory, you didn't go on to Purgatory to talk about what you were about to talk about on your show.
Yeah.
You have fun with them.
We did a little bit of it. Like, we sprinkled it in, but we just had fun, right? Like, we did fun. Yeah, like, just have fun. Have fun is always good. Like, it just don't – look, here's the deal. Take the job seriously. Don't take yourself seriously. That's my advice to anyone who wants to work in this business. It's just that simple as that. You know, and I'm not trying to tell Alan what to do. I'm just saying, like, you know, like, have fun. Have fun is always good. Like, always good. Let's go to Sean in Ontario. Sean, he wants to call you out, Bergman.
Oh, boy. Of course he does.
Mr. Sedano, what's up, man?
What's up, Sean?
Hey, not too much, man. I appreciate you guys taking my call. Hey, when I heard Bergman call Antonio Brown crazy, I almost lost it, man, in my truck. Like, this guy had done so much for the Steelers organization. I love the guy. But we have to admit that although he might have been mildly eccentric before that hit he took from Perfect, like, now it's questionable, in my opinion, that the guy might have CTE, and I think that explains some of his erratic and unusual behavior. So I think we should be more sympathetic to that man, considering how talented he is, as you mentioned. And that's all I wanted to say, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. Look, I do think that's interesting, Greg. Like, that shot from Perfect, that, I mean, his entire personality changed after that.
It's very true. And yes, when he got that hit, all of a sudden, that's when things started to change with him. And if it is CTE, then I honestly apologize for saying the word crazy in terms of Antonio Brown.
That's very big of you, actually. Good for you.
Okay, well, thank you. But anyway, but if you saw Antonio Brown last year and all the things that he was going through, and yes, it could have been because of the hit, but did you ever think that Antonio Brown was going to get another job after everything that went down last year?
Yes, because I believe that talent overcomes all that stuff, yes.
Okay, well, maybe I'm in the minority on this, but I've always thought that from what he – everything that he was doing on social media and calling people out and doing all those things. And look, maybe it was because of the CTE, but I mean, I don't know that for sure. So I don't want to speculate one way or the other.
No, we don't know. But Sean brings up a great point. After that hit, he kind of was a different person.
Right. As far as we know in social media land, right? I mean, we don't know. I don't know what he was like before that. But yes, it very well could have been for that hit. And if it is, again, if it is because of he does have CTE, then I absolutely apologize for using the word crazy.
Okay, that's fine. It's fine. That's big of you. Do you still stand by your point, though, the phrasing aside?
I do think that if you don't make it in New England, that it's going to be very difficult. Just because of the guys that have been there towards the ends of his career, because he's he's in his mid 30s right now. So it's not like he's, you know, 28, 29 years old. So he's at that point where you might be towards the end of your career anyway. And if you don't make it in New England where they allow basically anybody to try and become a reclamation project, then I don't know if you're going to make it.
He's only 31. He's not that old.
Is he only 31? I thought he'd be like 35. Yeah. Okay. So my timing's off, but either way, I think it's going to be difficult for him to convince people that everything is okay.
877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Chewy's in the LBC. What's up, Chewy?
Hey, good morning, guys and lady. And I'm with the lady on this, man. How the hell did King Taco get so big? I mean, they're overpriced. I mean, if I live in Long Beach, and we got all kinds of spots to hit if we want to get tacos. But if you're talking chain, I'm going to Supermex all day, every day.
Supermex is pretty good. Supermex is pretty good. And it is better than King Taco. I will give you that, yes.
It's way better than King Taco. King Taco, how do you pay $6 for a damn taco? Well, who do they think we are? No, man. You know what? I'd rather go get a potato taco from Taco Bell for 99 cents than go to King Taco. And those potato tacos aren't bad, by the way. Check them out, 99 cents, Taco Bell.
Woo. All right, Chewy. Chewy loves him some Taco Bell. Martin is in L.A. Martin.
Hey, what's up, Sedano? I just want to chime in on this whole King Taco talk. First of all, yeah, you're right. The tacos are not that great. But the burritos, man, the burritos are the business. But if you really want to taste the goodness of it, you got to head yourself to the one in Maywood, man, because that's a King Taco / Comida Mexicana. Ooh. That's what you can get yourself, some mole, you know, all that good stuff, man. But that web burrito, that salsa verde, oh, my God, man, that's my diet right there. Web burrito is life, Sedano.
Laura just gave you the Price is Right loser sound. Laura, what are you doing?
Because their food sucks.
She ain't never been to the King Taco in Maywood. That's why she never had that web burrito.
I've had a web burrito, and it was horrible. And the green one, because I love green. I don't do the red, but it was bad.
Oh my God, you're breaking my heart.
Nah, dude. I'm like, when people eat at King Taco and they're not drunk, they literally go there because they want food and they're Mexican. I'm like, I revoke your Mexican card away.
I'm Mexican and I go when I'm high. So you know the food.
I have another one for him, George.
Stay off the weed.
I mean, it's of the earth. You do what you want to do, my man. I'm good with that.
No, that's why he likes King Taco, man. Because of that. That's where his bad taste buds come from.
All right, Bart. Thank you, buddy. Stay healthy, okay? All right, Victor in Eagle Rock. Hello, Victor.
Hey, what's up, George? I'm a big fan of the show, man. Laura, Greg Berman, you guys are wrong, man. King Taco, I'm 36 years old. I've been going to King Taco since I could ever remember. Man, my daughter is 10 years old. She loves the sopes. The burritos are the bomb, like the last caller said. I mean, you can never go wrong going to King Taco. You said you better go to McDonald's and King Taco? Man, oh, man. I don't even know what to say about that, man. I'm a big fan of the show. King Taco's the best. I love it.
Hi, Victor. Thank you, buddy. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Look at that. Laura, you have struck a nerve with the King Taco fan.
Oh, I knew. I knew that was going to happen. I'm cool with it. Bring it on. I'm good.
I've never been to King Taco. So
yeah, you just got lumped in with Laura.
Yeah, I don't want to be in on this.
People are so used to just lumping you into the wrong answers that are just or like the answers that people disagree with. I should say that they just lumped you right in there, like with the negative comment there. Let's go to Jason in Downey. I'll tell you this. The only place I'm going to in Downey is my guy's Tropicana Bakery. That place is the best. But Jason, what do you got?
Well, first off, one of the routes, I'm a mail carrier, so they're on one of the routes. So whenever I go drop off mail, they kind of cook me up with a little treat here and there. So I've got mad.
Listen, Tropicana, my guy Mel and Mel Jr., they take care of people there, man. That is good stuff.
Good people, and then there's always a long line because there's people.
Oh, out the door. It's crazy.
Out the door all the time.
It makes me believe that, like, you know, there's just not a lot of great Cuban places here. So they're one of them. I think I'm going to try. You know what? I may go into business with them and start, like, franchising some of these across town with him. But anyway, Jason, what were you weighing in on? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
150% on Laura's side, King Taco is trash. We are now living in the golden age of tacos where you'll find a spot on every corner in any city now. People are, you know, it's not hard. The only good thing about King Taco was their salsa verde, and they only give you one or two. Mm-hmm. And then when you want to ask for extra, they charge you like $4. So that's it. If you ever have to go to any chain, I actually recommend Tacos Gavilan because they still keep the prices kind of small. But other than that, man, King Taco is garbage.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, buddy. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Make sure you you know that our friends here, speaking of food, that it's not just game day, but you can still feast like it is. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken, our fan favorite with a new campfire flavor, plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. I will tell you this. There are a few things that I love to eat, and tacos are one, pizza is another. Like, I can't go, even, like, honestly, like, we ordered Domino's pizza for the kids the other day just because, and by the way, Domino's pizza, to their credit, has gotten a lot better over the years as far as the delivery, and their app is super easy to use, and the kids like it, so it's just easy. Like, you know, we normally don't eat from Domino's, but there was a slice left. And I may have had a couple extra glasses of wine. I'm like, you know, I'll take that slice of pizza that's there that the kids aren't going to eat it. So, like, I am big on tacos, on pizza, and as I mentioned, Church's Chicken, fried chicken. My wife made fried chicken thighs the other day with biscuits, and it was delicious. Like, now, granted, you probably shouldn't have fried chicken all the time, though we love our friends who eat fried chicken, but it is for me a hard habit to break. Those are my top three. Like, when I'm going, like, if I need to eat and eat, like, good and be like, oh, I'm just gonna, like, devour something, those are my three. Pizza, fried chicken, tacos, all day, every day. Greg?
Yeah, pizza is definitely one of them. I go with the burritos over the tacos. And then this one is not something that you can go, but I eat a lot of peanut butter and jelly now. It is so good.
What are you,
good.
Seven?
It doesn't matter. And it's a lot of times they're Uncrustables too, and they're just so good. I can eat them like by the hand. We'll just continually eat more and more of them. They're so good. But like you're talking about things that are like kind of not the best for you, but still good to eat. Pizza, and by the way, I go to Pizza Hut every week with for my my kids love the Pizza Hut on the street, on the corner.
Yeah. Laura, go ahead. What are your top three?
Chicken, fried chicken, pasta. I love Alfredo pasta.
Pasta. Alfredo pasta is good.
But, yeah.
You gotta be careful. I'm a little lactose intolerant.
Well, I do this, like the zucchini stuff. I have to do like the low carb and all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And if I had to pick my third one, I'll do pizza. Yeah, I can do pizza. BJ's pizza is pretty good.
Yeah. Bergman, I asked you earlier. We were, and I want to bring it up to the audience again. We were talking about this earlier. I feel like it's a super underreported story, okay? And it's that Lou Williams has not committed to playing in the bubble. And, man, I feel like if that happens, like let's just say for argument's sake, Lou doesn't commit to playing for the Clippers in Orlando, that's a huge, huge deal that no one seems to be talking about enough.
It's a huge hit to that team. And Amin talked about it earlier. He would be the best player on a good team that is not playing in the bubble as of right now. So that it's a gigantic loss. And you can't take away a team's third leading scorer and not expect it to hurt.
Bigger issue, though. Do you think, just from what they do from a team construct perspective, okay, not that one's a better player or whatever than the other, what it means to the specific team, bigger loss if Dwight, who has not committed yet, opts out, or Lou will if he opts out?
Again, I still think it's Lou will opting out is the bigger upset for that team because, and I think a caller actually talked about it, and I'm glad that he did. Lou Williams and the Montrezl Harrell pick and roll that they play and the way that they play together, it's one of the best in the NBA right now. They are so good together on that second team, and Montrezl Harrell is such a big part of what the Clippers are doing also for that second team that losing that piece that to get him the ball in the right spots makes a gigantic difference for them.
No, so, and listen, I agree with all of that. But what I would say to you is this, is, man, the Lakers would lose a lot defensively if Dwight doesn't commit.
They would, but I mean, that you still have Anthony Davis who, if he does play the five, which he would be kind of forced to do and would do so, even though he doesn't like to. Chris Bosh didn't like to play the five either, but he played it to win championships with the Miami
Heat. No. But there's a big difference. Like Chris Bosh, maybe he didn't love playing it at first, but he didn't like vocally do the things that Anthony Davis has done. Like literally Alvin Gentry once told me, I asked him a question. I was doing one of their games a couple years ago. I'm like, why do you announce Nikola Mirotic as the center? And you know, AD is the four. He's like, AD doesn't like to be announced as the center, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, he doesn't even like to be announced as the center in like starting lineups. That's insane.
Well, JaVale McGee is the starting center, and no matter what, and JaVale McGee is not opted out.
But to my point is that if he doesn't even like to be named a center, let alone actually play it, you know what I mean? Like, I guess he would have to, but man, like there's like something there, like in it's deeply rooted as to why he doesn't want to play center.
Right. Well, yes, there is because he can do a lot more damage against the opposing power forwards than he would be against opposing centers. But either way, I mean, he has played center this year and he's played it very, very well. So when JaVale McGee's out, if he has to play center, he's going to be just fine at it. And if he wants to win a championship, you got to believe that LeBron's going to be like, look, man, Dwight's not playing. We need you to play some five. He's going to be like, I want a championship. So yes, I'm going to do it.
Man, like if Dwight doesn't play now, granted, I understand that people will respect it outwardly and they should. And look, I think anyone during a pandemic, regardless of your reasoning, no matter what it is, whether it's the pandemic, social justice, your family, right? Like all these reasons are all valid reasons in my opinion. But do you think deep down inside there will be some resentment with Dwight specifically because he basically had to beg his way into the organization again?
Yeah, and there's also, you know, when he was here in 2012, there was a lot of, he had that back issue, but people didn't really fully believe that he had the back issue, and he wasn't playing in games, and people kind of called him soft because of that. So if he sits out of this, I'm sure there are going to be people, I don't agree with this, but I'm sure there are going to be people that are like, look, he's just showing how soft he is again. And they shouldn't, because you should respect every single person that decides not to go to the bubble.
Man, it's pretty incredible when you think about it. Like how, like, I would have never guessed in a million years that Dwight would be this important. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you would have told me in October, like, I would have said, yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe, you know. But he's like a really important player to this particular squad.
To the point of that last year, I was on with Mason in Ireland back then, and I made multiple arguments of why I thought that Joakim Noah was the better fit over Dwight Howard.
You.
And I did not
I agree.
Want Dwight Howard.
I did the same thing, especially because Joakim Noah played so well for Memphis that previous season. 877-710-ESPN if you want to hop aboard on Lou Will and Dwight. Let me grab Brandon in Southgate. Brandon, what's up?
What's up, Sedano? I'm with Laura on this one, bro. She's always correct. Man, if there was a girl like you, Laura, I would marry you right then and there, man. Like, King Taco's trash, bro. I'm going to just put it that way, because at the end of the day, like, how you Mexican and you go to King Taco? That's not real Mexican food. It's like going to a bootleg Taco Bell or something like that. These Mexican dudes got to stop talking about, Super Taco, Taco Bell. Man, go to Flavor in Greece and Flavor No Greece in South Central LA, man. They be cooking some bomb ass tacos. They know what's up, and they just treat you good, man. All right, great job, guys.
All right, Brandon, be good, buddy. Stay healthy, stay safe. All right, now we got a lot of people that want to chime in on this taco talk on King Taco. You know, thumbs up or thumbs down. A lot of people that want to chime in on Lou Will and Dwight potentially not playing for the Clippers and the Lakers, respectively. We've got 3 minutes here. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Tune into the ESPN Daily podcast with our friend Mina Kimes. Soon to be Pablo Torre taking over the ESPN Daily podcast, our pal. Bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review the ESPN Daily, currently with our friend Mina Kimes still, and soon to be with our friend Pablo Torre, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Also, download the Overheard podcast, speaking of podcasts, for curiously delightful conversations overheard from National Geographic's headquarters, presented by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. And it is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And people are giving us the Straight Talk on this King Taco conversation. Who knew that this thing would be such a big deal? Good Lord. Let's go to the phones. People want to weigh in on that. We were discussing about Lou Williams potentially opting out of the bubble for the Clippers, and Dwight still has not committed to the Lakers at this point, and how big an impact that is for each team. Which one do you believe creates a bigger impact? We'll get to that in just a second. I do want to tell you one thing, Greg. It is almost the 10-year anniversary of the decision with LeBron.
Right.
And the TV show. And I know we had Don Van Natta on Friday to talk about Backstory, which is the show that aired on Sunday. And, man, I remember that thing like it was yesterday. Brian Windhorst actually has two really cool things up right now. He's got a podcast on his Hoop Collective podcast, so another podcast plug, about the decision and everything that was involved in that. And he also wrote an unbelievable story for ESPN.com that myself and Dave McMiniman contributed to. And what I mean by contributed to, we got him some quotes from some guys. But Brian did all the work. And it's really well done. Like, basically, the decision, I know that people ripped it. But, man, if you think about it, LeBron's player empowerment movement started there.
Yeah, that was the place where all these NBA players are. Without him doing the decision, you look back on it now and you would think like, oh, this is just normal. There's nothing wrong with this. I mean, maybe the execution of it, of having this big Jim Gray thing.
Sure, all that stuff could have been done differently, but sure. The actual act of him doing it on television or whatever, I mean, how much different is that than now guys using the Players Tribune, or LeBron even went to Sports Illustrated with Lee Jenkins in 2014. You know, like, it's still like a big to-do when some of these guys are free agents.
Look, LeBron has now made a gigantic company out of doing these types of things. And so has Kevin Durant with the boardroom and those types of things. But Kevin Durant would have never gone to Golden State possibly.
State, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how it changed the way that the league works is pretty incredible. Guys get to go where they want now, for the most part.
Yeah,
Anthony Davis to the Lakers.
Yeah, so, right. I mean, think about that. The player empowerment movement literally went from free agency, which people lost their mind over, if you remember. And then it has now evolved to the point where guys can ask out of deals 2 years early. Paul George, Anthony Davis, right? Like, think about that for a second.
Right, and now we would not see any. Like, yeah, there's another one. Paul George going to the Clippers. No way that happens if this doesn't go the way that it did back 10 years ago.
Yeah,
so
these guys owe LeBron a lot. I mean, he took all the grief, okay? And look, the first person to do anything always takes a lot of grief. But man, he took a lot of grief. I will tell you this, Greg. I have never, since then, okay, and never before have I seen fans react as viscerally, as angrily as they did towards LeBron and that team in 2010. Nothing like it. The stuff in Cleveland was borderline gross. Not even borderline. Some of it was just gross, completely inappropriate. They threw batteries at them on the bench from the top of the arena. Like, it was in bleeping sane. And that's the type of stuff you didn't even see on TV. Like, on TV, you saw the signs, and those were the tame ones. You didn't even see the ones that were really awful, okay?
Wow. I didn't even know that they were doing the whole throwing of the batteries from the top there.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you, but obviously it's a dumb question now, but I was going to say, is it worse than what KD went through when
KD went back to Oklahoma City and they held cupcake signs. You know what I'm saying? Like, like, get out of here. Like, that is actually the perfect analogy, because what KD went through was so much more fluffy than what LeBron went through that it felt like the cream you would put on a cupcake, literally. Like, it was so much different than what LeBron went through, that if, like, look, man, I wouldn't wish any athlete to go through what LeBron went through that first season. Like, it was unbelievable. And I know people will say, oh, he put himself in that position, yada, yada. Yeah, sure, okay. I'm not saying, again, as you discussed, some of the execution on some of the stuff didn't make sense. Even the pep rally thing that they got blamed for, that was supposed to be just for fans inside of an arena. And somehow there was some feed that got out and it got transmitted all over the damn country.
But not one, not two,
yeah,
not
three. It was literally supposed to be for 18,000 people inside of an arena, and no more, no less.
Right. Well, it got out, and he got killed for that, too. What's funny, too, is that Cleveland then turned around when he came back and just loved the hell out of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Such hypocrites, all of them. All of those Cleveland people, hypocrites. And by the way, here's another thing LeBron doesn't get enough credit for. Going back to Cleveland after Dan Gilbert basically wrote some racist-ass letter when he left in 2010.
Yeah, that letter was just really, really bad. And he put it all aside, went back, won a championship, and came right over here to the Lakers.
But he made him do it his way. He basically told him, you're going to pay, and you're going to pay everything. You want me to come back? The answer can never be no when I want something. And good for him.
Yeah, and look what J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson got out of that. He could not say no to giving them those gigantic contracts.
Right. I mean, they won a championship for the first time in 50-something years.
Right,
for the entire city. Like, I think that it worked out pretty well in regards to that. Like, you
right,
know, and by the way, they all made a ton of money because LeBron is his own economy in a lot of ways.
Right. And Laura just brought up a good point in my ears. Like, what do you think the Astros are going to go through when fans are allowed back?
No,
anywhere near it?
No, no way.
Because I don't know.
No. Here's why. There was also, like, and I kind of alluded to it with Gilbert, there was plenty of, in some cases, particularly there, right? That first game in Cleveland, it was like the seventh level of hell. There was hints of racism there, like with some of those signs. Like, I'm telling you, man, like, nothing. Nothing will ever compare to that. Nothing. Anyone who was there can tell you otherwise. Like, they will not tell you otherwise. It is unlike anything I've ever seen, and I don't think we'll ever witness anything like it again. Like, in all honesty. The Astros, that's chump change compared to what LeBron had to deal with in Cleveland that first time.
I mean, I can't imagine that people are going to be – I mean, the Astros are going to get things like banging of trash cans or possibly throwing of trash cans or something crazy like that.
I mean, you heard Chris Bosh when he was on this show a month ago. Like, he said, like, dude, there were places we weren't even going to go that were, like, killing us for no reason.
Right. I mean, it was a pretty – visceral thing to see what he did. It just, like, you get a reaction from all from,
I mean, what did he do decision. Though he chose as a free agent to go somewhere and play with his friends. That's kind of cool. Like, what do you want to, I mean, listen, you know, I chose you as the producer of this show, right?
Yes.
I have Laura on this show because I want Laura on this show. Like, that you should want to work with people you like working with.
Sure. And look, it's what's, if you're talking about it in today's day, like, yes, it all makes sense. Going back 10 years, it had not been done like that ever really before, and people just did not like the fact that he was saying, take my talents to sell.
No, I mean Kobe basically did that when he said, when he went from high school into the draft.
Right.
He said, taking my talents to the NBA.
But in high school.
I get it. I'm not disputing that. I'm saying that you're right. Like, that phrase will forever haunt him. In some ways, much like the not two, not three, not four. But that's really it. And I remember saying this at the time, that if that was the worst thing LeBron's ever done, we're going to look back and go, man, we were overreacted to that.
Well, that is the worst thing that LeBron's ever done. If there's anybody that has been, at least, you know, publicly, the most squeaky clean superstar, it's LeBron James.
We overreacted to that. Not me, but because I didn't. I was fighting people off in real time. But plenty of people overreacted to that. All right, let's go to the phones. Vince is in La Habra. Vince, what do you got?
How's it going today?
Hey, bud.
Good, good. I got two takes on your subjects. Okay. For one, without Dwight, I mean, I went to the last game against Brooklyn, Kyrie-less, and Dinwiddie was
Dinwiddie, yes.
Getting to the basket at will. So not having Dwight is going to be huge. Two, King Taco's out, man. King Taco, any taqueria that does not serve limes with their tacos is out.
That's a good point. Yeah, no limes. My wife actually says that if you don't serve radishes, also, that you are not legitimate. So,
yeah. So thank you very much for the call. Have a
all
good
right.
day.
Thank you, Vince. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Yeah, I'm not a big radish person, but Laura, you also agree with my wife, with Mrs. Sedano, that the radishes need to be involved to be a legit Mexican taco place?
Yes. I said smart woman. I don't really like them either, but it has to be there. They're like, oh, that's a good spot.
Yeah, not lime is pretty important. I would agree. I would agree no lime is pretty important. Let me go to Cisco on the 10. Cisco, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, man? I got a couple takes on your Lakers and Clippers, man. Being that we already lost Avery Bradley, I think losing him and Dwight Howard would be bigger than losing Williams for the Clippers, just because that's 2-on-1.
Yeah. Look, losing two guys in that rotation, particularly Dwight because of the lack of depth up front and no real availability, I think is pretty big. Lou is a better player than Dwight. I'm not or Avery for that matter. I'm not diminishing that part of it. But I just think the fit is going to be fascinating to see. And again, not diminishing Lou's fit. Lou is a tremendous basketball player. He's a sixth man of the year a couple of times. They should rename the damn award after him.
Yeah, I wish we would have kept hold of him instead of trading him. But, you know, that's what happened.
Yeah, for sure. And thanks, Cisco. I'm sorry. You had one more. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, tacos. Real quick. King Taco, man, really? Like, you guys need to try Guisado's right next to Dodger Stadium on Sunset, man. That's probably the best taco place around.
No, I'm with you. I just think it was funny. We've only brought it up because it was trending on social media, and everybody was hating on it. And I don't think it's that good either. Like, I just think it's one of those things, like, if I'm starving and it's next door, okay, I'll pop in for a second, you know?
Definitely, man. Well, hey, take care, man. You guys stay up.
All right, man. You too. Stay healthy. Let me go to Raul in Norwalk. Raul.
Hey, yo, man. I just want to say Rancho Grande is a spot in Norwalk.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, sir. It's bomb.
Okay.
You guys got to get down there and taste that. It's super good. Get the Big Louie.
The Big Louie?
Really bomb.
Okay.
The Big Louie is what it's called.
All right, bro. Appreciate it. Thank you.
That was random.
Yeah.
That was so random.
It was random. Big Louie, though.
I mean, but at least King Taco, people agreed for the most part. It sucks.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't realize there was such
a hate,
visceral reaction to both the, you know, I mean, King Taco is like, you know, we are talking about King James, right? So King Taco, King James, maybe I guess that, look at you. Always, always throwing the shade.
I mean, Greg always hasn't interrupted me, so I'm going to keep going.
Always there throwing the shade.
I'm by allowing way, Greg, you to do this. It's not me now.
By the way, Greg, you have also not, you're not breathing as heavy today. Is that, are you cognizant of it now? Is that what it is? Did we shame you yesterday? Did the audience shame you?
Yeah, you shamed me into it, and I try and hit the mute button as much as possible when I'm not speaking.
Yeah. You did have one person that agrees with you. Having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with a cheap cab are his go-to midnight comfort combos these days. That's from Starfish and Coffee. I can't – listen, peanut butter and jelly is just – I give that stuff to my six-year-old. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not having that, you know?
I would.
You know, I took a long break from it. Like, I didn't have it. It was – yes, it was a kid thing. Over the last – over the quarantine, it's just been an easier thing to eat, and we don't have a lot of food, and it's just – it's delicious. I mean, you're not – you're really missing out now just because it's a supposed kid thing. No, it is very, very tasty, and it has a lot of protein with the peanut butter.
The peanut butters have a lot of protein, but you're eating a lot of carbs with the bread and the jelly. Like, let's not just dismiss that part of the equation.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, but still, it is very, very good. They work so well together. That's why they say they go together like peanut butter and jelly.
I agree. I get it, but it's just – it's not my – they serve them at the Lakers, right, games with
yes.
the, in like those packets with the
yes.
Uncrustables, right?
Yeah, the Uncrustables, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Laura, peanut butter and jelly?
I've never had one. I'm allergic.
What? To-
wait,
what?
Wait, wait, guys. I'm allergic. Like,
oh, to
deadly-
peanut.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have
that's
an
fair.
EpiPen. So
wow.
I'm really allergic to that. So
okay, that's
not.
Fair. My you daughter's know, allergic to peanut butter, too.
My daughter's not, but there's a kid in her class who is, and she always feels bad, so she tells my my wife to not, on certain days, like when they were going to school, she says, I want to sit with Lucas, I think, or whatever his name was. It's like, so don't make me a peanut butter, anything with peanuts today so I can sit next to him at lunch. Because the poor kid had to sit at his own like table with, I guess, like one or two other kids that are also have peanut allergies. It's crazy, though, because aww. When I was a kid growing up, I don't think we knew anything about that kind of stuff. I'm also old, so there's that.
Right. Yeah, the peanut allergy wasn't really a thing back then. I don't remember ever anybody really having that. Like, you could go and just have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with
yeah.
zero issue.
Yeah. Laura, when did you find out that you had this allergy? Like, how old were you?
I was very young. I was about 6 years old. So I've always hated the smell of peanut butter. My kid brothers love it, but I always hated it. So I never touched it. And one time my older sister was like, I don't want to cook for you. So you're eating what we're all eating, which is
right.
peanut butter and jelly. And yeah, I had to go to the ER and I had to get an EpiPen. And that's how they found
oh, wow.
out that I was allergic.
Yeah, yeah, that's a terrible way to find out. So what they say is, my wife did this with both our kids, that the first time you give them peanuts or peanut butter in this case, you do it while you're in like a parking lot of like a hospital, basically. And they say that's the best way, so you just kind of wait for a little while, right? And mm-hmm. then you can, if they have the reaction, then you just rush them in.
Yeah, because it depends on what type of reaction. Like mine, it's more severe now as an adult, which is weird, where I literally last year had to go to the ER because I couldn't breathe. But some people will just kind of get like hives and stuff, which is not that bad.
Right, that bad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. So my daughter, that's what my daughter has, was she was not
she
able
hives?
To breathe. No, she can't breathe if she has a peanut. So it needs
wow.
to be very, very, and even if you're around somebody that has it, sometimes it can.
Now,
it
is it all nuts or just peanuts?
No, it's all nuts. It's not just tree nuts,
oh,
which could
wow.
be, which could actually, there's a lot of people only have the tree nuts. I'm not sure how you are, Laura, but
no,
yeah, that's part of the thing.
Mine's just peanuts and I could be around people eating it. I just can't consume it.
Mm-hmm. Crazy. Crazy, crazy. Hopefully Mason and Sliwa don't have hot dog allergies because they're going to be doing a hot dog eating contest at 6:15 on Thursday. So we're going to have Mason on Thursday to promote that. We're going to have some fun with Mason. Tomorrow, Momo will be in the house for the whole show as she is every Wednesday, so that'll be fun. Thanks to Amin for stopping by. Thanks to Greg and Laura. Thanks to you guys for tuning in and calling in. We love you. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. as Momo will be in the house. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See you.